Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Thursday show, and have we got a good one for you. We're going to be talking all about WWE, AEW, and so much more. But before we get into all that, let me introduce our special guest. Hey, if you're on YouTube, then you already know who it is. But if you're listening to the audio-only version later, you still have no idea who this could be. It could be a total surprise for you. Well, let me say who it is. It's Avenged Sevenfold's own Johnny Christ. Johnny, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. It's quite an honor, and I love that little intro you had there, that little countdown there. That was epic, man.
Yeah, the music's a little intense. I feel like every time I listen to it, I'm like, man, I got to get ready for war when this thing's playing.
That's what you're setting your guests up for, huh?
Right, yeah, exactly. So obviously, we got to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, but you're in a pretty popular band, and so I always like to start off chatting just about easy stuff, something that's easy to talk about. What are you listening to right now? What's on your playlist right now, whether it's new, old, whatever? What are you listening to?
Oh, man. For like backyard parties and stuff, I still like to go with the old Pandora. I know that sounds really old to all the kids listening to me right now, but I go to Pandora and I put in a radio. I always put in Ain't No Mountain High Enough for radio station. It plays all Motown by the pool. It's fantastic. But as far as like when I'm listening headphones in or just cruising in the car, there's only three records I've been listening to lately. And it's the Dirty Heads, Midnight Control, White Reaper. What's the name of the album? But it's the new White Reaper one. There's like something about getting along for the ride. And then the new 100 Gex, 10,000 Gex record is insanely good. Those are the only three records I've been listening to for the past like 6-7 months.
You have quite the range there. I'll be honest. I'm surprised you went with Motown for what you're listening to at the backyard parties.
I love Motown.
Motown's so good. We are going to sound old though, talking. Yeah.
But it puts you in the right frame of mind, you know, for like just hanging out. Just most. I mean, all the songs that come up on that playlist are happier songs. It puts you in a good mood. That's why I like it. I'm outside hanging out by the barbecue, whatever it is, jumping in the pool. But yeah, I mean, even if we do sound old, I think the kids listening to this should go listen to some of the music we're talking about, because it's fucking good.
The thing that makes me feel the oldest is that Pandora feels old, because I heard Pandora being the cool new thing.
It was brand new, man. I had it playing from my DVD player. I was one of the first ones that had a DVD player that actually had apps.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow. Now it's just real old. We brought up DVDs. We're in trouble.
Yeah, we're done. Well, we didn't go to VHS, so we're okay. We're okay there. But everyone who's joined along, I want to thank everyone who's joining us. Whether you're listening later or live, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review, all that good stuff. If you're in the live chat, thanks for joining us. We've already got Tornado Anthony Y, Gluten Free, Jane Young in the house already showing up here. So some great folks here. Good to see you. If you have any questions, let us know. Now, Johnny, you've been doing this for a while, so you know this is where we make all the advertisers happy, all the money guys happy. We're going to chat about something that you've got cooking right now, and it's coming out tomorrow as of recording. You got a new album coming out, Life is But a Dream, Avenged Sevenfold. Nobody is already on Spotify. That's what the kids are listening to now, Johnny.
Yes, Spotify. I know.
Tell me a little bit about this one. What is this going to be for, new fans, old fans, a little bit in between? What do you think?
I don't know, man. I hope it's just for fans of music. I mean, at this point in our career, it's our eighth album that we're putting out and putting together. And it's been a long journey. It took us 5 years to get this thing put together for everybody. And I've lived with it for those 5 years, and I love it. I love every bit of it. I'm super proud of what my boys were able to accomplish and what we were able to do together. And yeah, it's the next evolution of Avenged Sevenfold. Every record, we challenge ourselves and challenge our fans to go on a musical journey with us. And it's no different in that sense. The philosophy hasn't changed too much. But the music has. I mean, but it's still Avenged Sevenfold, you know, and I make the joke that this album is a grower, not a shower. It's absolutely, it's something you're going to want to live with for a little while before making any snap judgments, I think, anyway. But you know what? Go find out for yourself. I mean, that's what art is about, right? You make it, you put it together, you make it the best you can, and it's up to everyone else to decide if it's good, bad, or ugly, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, five years, was that slowed down because of everything shutting down, or is that just how long you guys take? Or
no, partly. Well, we usually don't take that long. We come off the road from a cycle of about, you know, 18 months or something like that, some little bit longer. And we take like about a month or so to kind of think about what we want to accomplish. Like I said, how we want to challenge ourselves moving forward on a new record. And, you know, then we start writing, and we put in hours a day together. And then of course, when we also write on our own, you know, in our own home studios as well. So there's a long process in that stuff. And usually we get it done in about a year, but we got off the road in late 2018. And this album we were taking a little bit longer writing it, just by the nature of the songs that we were trying to accomplish here. And, so by the time we were ready, we started going to go book time to make these demos sound good, you know, and go into some studios in LA and Orange County. And that was right when the pandemic hit, and we had to go, oh, well, we're not doing that right now. We got to put this on pause, as everyone had to put their lives on pause for a while there. But for us, even as we were coming back, I mean, we did do some stuff during the pandemic when we could, you know, have to wear masks and all these LA studios and everything like that, and test every day. It wasn't the greatest experience, but we were getting through it. But then when it came to things, I mean, we have a 72-piece orchestra on this record for some of the songs, and they were, and they're part of a union. There's no way that they would possibly be able to do that under the pandemic protocols or whatever. So we just took our time and we were like, oh, we could do it in quintets. We could record in quintets. We're like, no, man, that's going to take away the vibe. Like,
right.
We'll just wait. We already waited this long. And this was by then it was like 2021. We're like, we've already been home for this long. Like, whatever. We'll take our time and wait. And we did. And we got to use the Sony stage that Over the Rainbow was at, and all the Wizard of Oz stuff. And John Williams uses now for all the Star Wars scoring. I mean, it's a sick room. I'm glad we waited.
Yeah, that's got to be surreal to get to work in those places. And I mean, because obviously you guys are a big, big deal now. But I mean, going back to when you were younger, first starting. In fact, you got to verify this for me. I read this, but it was on Wikipedia, which sometimes has a...
We know sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I understand. I understand. Move over to the center of this shot for you a little bit, though. There we go.
Is it true that you dropped out of high school to go to join Avenged Sevenfold? And that's a true story.
That is an absolute
gutsy move.
Gutsy, stupid, whatever. I mean, I was 18, you know. I just turned 18 right before the boys gave me a call. I was friends with them. You know, we all grew up in Huntington Beach together. They were in grade school. They were closer to one of my older brothers, but I'd gotten to know them over the years as well. And when they needed someone to fill in for a couple weeks, and so I threw my name in the hat, and they're like, "Yeah, let's go. Let's take little Johnny out here." And I was like, I'll just take a couple weeks off of school. Won't be a big deal. I'll get a tutor. I'll get caught back up. It'll be a really good experience for me because I'm in my own band and I just want to see how you guys work. It was really just like kind of that thing. I wasn't really expecting to get the gig. And then they asked at the end of the 2 weeks, they're like, do you want to stay on full time? And it was a resounding yes, of course. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to go get my GED. You know, I'm done mm-hmm. with this school stuff, you know. And I never ended up getting my GED either. So I was like, I'll always come back to it. Whatever. I could do adult school. But no, the realness is that there was no guarantee that we would be where we are. But I had faith in the rest of the guys for sure. I put my faith in there and rolled the dice. And I got to be honest, I know I got pretty effing lucky. So, but I'm here and I'm super grateful and couldn't be happier to be doing this with four of my brothers. And it's pretty great.
Were you a fan of wrestling back then, or was that something that came along later?
I have been a fan of wrestling since literally before I can remember. And I mean that truthfully. I was at the first ever, the second WrestleMania, during the simulcast one. I was 3 months old. My parents had to take me along because I was not a formula baby, we'll put it that way. And so I was there at the LA part of it. I've since rewatched this one. Luckily they have the vault, and I got heavy into the vault about 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So right. I went back and watched it. It's like, McMahon is such a genius. This is 1985, and he tries to do a simulcast in LA, Chicago, and New York for WrestleMania, and he pulls it off. This is way before the technology we have, like a StreamYard that we're on right now, or a Zoom or anything like that. Like, he pulled that shit off. And I was like, and I got to be a part of that, you know. And ever since I've, you know, when I actually had consciousness and got a little older, my father raised me. My father and older brothers raised me on wrestling. So I've been a fan since forever.
It's one, I always like to say, I love that you talk about how Vince McMahon pulled it off. Because I would say Vince McMahon for sure has his faults, but we got to give the devil his due sometimes. I mean, he has done so much for pro wrestling and built so many crazy risks. Speaking of risks from earlier on, that some paid off, some didn't. But looking back, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, but that was a good idea. But at the time, that could have been a huge mistake.
Oh, it was only the second WrestleMania. Like, now we know we're in 38, 39 now. That last one was 38. So so now it seems like, oh, you got to go for the big risks and everything like that. Like, yeah, first WrestleMania was a success, but it was a success on that level in 1984. Like, that's a different level for wrestling than what it is now that we've grown to know because of guys like Vince McMahon. And you're right. Yeah. There's plenty of stuff you can poo-poo about him and, you know, all the rumors, I guess, cause I've never met him. I don't know if you have, I don't know. No. I don't know the man personally. I could only go off of rumors and what I see as a fan. And sure, I mean, I guess if he's behind everything as much as they say he is, then there's a couple of times where I might have a gripe with what I'm watching or why it's going down. But that's part of being a wrestling fan too, by the way. That's why we get to gripe about it and make those comments. And that's what makes us so fanatical. We can have a conversation with someone because everyone disagrees on it. It's not typical sports. It's sports entertainment. So there's a lot of disagreements on how things should have gone down, right? But at the end of the day, the entrepreneur that is Vince McMahon gave us what wrestling is today. There's no denying it. So it's like when he did something right, give the man his flowers, you know?
100%. And so I think, too, you talk about being at WrestleMania 2. Who would have thought? Must have been incredible for you. I believe it was WrestleMania 32. You guys had the Hail to the King as the theme of WrestleMania. What you got to walk?
I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Because that was in 2013, right? Something like that. It's 10 years ago now.
Someone might have to fact check me on the number. Yeah. To be totally honest,
I don't think it was 32 because we just did 38, and Hail to the King came out in 2013. So it'd have to be maybe 28, 29, something like that.
So, but I mean, how did that happen? Was that just something that happened? You're like, oh, surprise. Or did you
pretty much
it, or was, what was that like hearing your song on WrestleMania? That's gotta be mind blowing.
All right. So I gotta be honest, cause I'm on a long form podcast here. I'm not going to bullshit anybody. Yeah. There was a time when I went and I wasn't watching wrestling very regularly. So I did miss that one. I heard about it later. So it was, I didn't get like that whole pinch me moment or anything like that as a wrestling fan. And that, and to that point, they had picked up our song for video games and some other stuff in the past. We had been featured on small things, but WrestleMania was a bigger deal, obviously. I mean, it was just flattering, you know, there's nothing crazy about it at the time. It was when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. You know, I think actually Jericho was the one that told us about it. Cause it went through, promotions and stuff like that within the label. I believe they had to do it like by the book. It wasn't like they just called us up. Although, John Hammer, I met him at the last WrestleMania, and we're hoping to get some more Avenged Songs licensed into some WWE stuff. And we told him just to talk to us. Don't bother going to the label. Just talk to us. We're fans, man. And I was like, dude, we're fans. Just come on. Let's go.
I was going to say, the whole band is fans. You guys all get into it together.
Me and Matt, our singer Matt is a big wrestling fan too. He grew up the same way. He's not as current as I am. Mm-hmm. I think he's focused on some other things right now, but everyone's, I went to WrestleMania with him. We got a suite and we were all hanging out with our kids and stuff like that. And it was, that was night two that he came out to. So I know he's still a wrestling fan, but as I said, I'm the current wrestling fan in the band. We've all loved it though.
Right. It's, and you know, you talk about taking a break from wrestling. I always say that's totally okay. Some people, I feel like, think they get a medal of honor for never missing a show ever. And that's cool. But I always think, like, sometimes it's good to step away for a little bit.
You know, and it wasn't for any other reason, but life, you know, life gets in the way. Sometimes you find other things that you prioritize, and for different, I think that's just because if everyone's honest with themselves, they go through that anyway, like with everything in life. There's times when you want to listen to heavier music or softer music, whatever. You want to watch a comedy over a drama, you know, everyone makes those decisions daily. You know, it's like, yeah. I didn't like consciously say fuck wrestling. It just never, I wasn't staying current. I would check in every once in a while, especially after we befriended Chris Jericho. I'd check in and see what he's up to and a couple of the other guys. And it wasn't really until I started my podcast, had a couple of Hall of Famers on the show and a couple current guys. And then, excuse me, I had my now 6-year-old son, and we started watching wrestling together. And I was like, this is what it's all about. You know, and now he tells me the other night after watching Double or Nothing that he wants to be a wrestler. And I was like, well,
I love it.
I mean, I'm no slouch as a dad. I might have some connections to get you into the right schools for something like this. Let me ask around, you know? So, I don't know how good the scene is here in Orange County. So I might have to go outside for that, but, I might be putting him into some wrestling school.
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this on Wrestling Inc, but I work with a company called Santino Bros Wrestling, and they train. And in fact, Brody King over at, speaking of musicians and wrestling, he trained at Santino Bros. So,
he's a bigger guy. I'm a little guy. My son's not going to be very big either. I'm going to have to ask guys like Darby where he went to school and stuff. So,
So I think he was in the Northwest. He's a Seattle guy.
Yeah, he was a Seattle guy. But I'm gonna talk to him anyway. He came on the show in like right when we started pretty much making this a real podcast. It started as a YouTube series before. But Darby came on the show with his then wife, Priscilla Kelly, Gigi Dolan now. Mm-hmm. And we had a blast. We hit it off right away. And ever since then, Darby comes on at least once a season of my podcast. And when he's in town, he's staying at my house and stuff. We became fast friends over music and wrestling pretty much. And then, and he's always been really cool to my son. When he had the TNT title, he'd come by and my son got to take pictures with the TNT title. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea how awesome this is, son. Like, right. That would be like Bret Hart bringing over the Intercontinental title when I was your age. Like that would be to your house. I'm like, you're so spoiled. You're so spoiled.
It's so, yeah, you have no idea. You have, like, Johnny, I love that you mentioned Bret Hart, because there was a time I would have killed someone to be the kid that gets the glasses from
Oh
Bret
yeah.
Hart.
Oh yeah.
If I could go back in time now as an adult, I would shove a kid out of the way to try to get the glasses.
I might do the same thing then.
If I could. So you mentioned Darby, you mentioned Jericho. Did you become friends with these guys? At least Jericho, I know obviously he has Fozzy's and he's in music. Did you connect with him via music first, or was it through wrestling or through the podcast? How did that go?
Jericho was back in 2010, 2011 when we had Mike Portnoy drumming for us. He was really good friends with Chris. I know Jared, at the time we didn't know how much he was steeped in knowledge of music, but after getting to know him, he is an encyclopedia of music. It's not just metal. He's an encyclopedia of music, and he's got quite the record collection, CD collection, whatever it is these days. We went over to his house when we were in Florida. That was the first time I met him. He cooked us up some steaks and, lent us our jet skis. A funny story I could get back to on that one with Mike Portnoy, but, yeah, that the whole connection really came from Mike. He was already friends with Chris, and Chris had we had heard him in interviews and on his Talk Is Jericho podcast, giving us praises, and we always thought that was cool. We were like, oh man, like me and Matt were like, Chris Jericho knows who we are. This is awesome. Right. Like this is great. And then flash forward a few years, we actually get to meet him, become really good friends with him. Like I said, we're out at his house and he's barbecuing up steaks in Florida. Now every time we're crossing paths, like I saw Fozzy play in Orange County at the Garden Grove Amphitheater just last year, got to say hi to him and stuff. So yeah, it's to answer your question more directly. Yeah, it came from music.
That's got to be awesome. I mean, did you have a little bit of the jitters when you met him? Like, oh my, because Chris Jericho, at least to me, I mean, I don't know if he was there at 2011, but to me, I look at him and I think top 10, maybe. I mean, he's
up there, man. His skill, and especially his longevity too, of being able to constantly reinvent himself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anyone else that's reinvented themselves that many times for that long. You know what I mean? Like, you have a couple of the big successfully. Yes. Yeah. You have a couple of big changes usually in your career where like even Taker becomes, you know, more biker Taker, American badass Taker. But that was one big change. And we're talking about a Hall of Famer and Undertaker, who I love, was probably one of my favorites growing up, you know, if not my favorite. Actually, in third grade, he was definitely my favorite wrestler because I dressed up as him for Halloween and it was a great costume my mom helped me with. The way Jericho has been able to reinvent himself, and now Wizard, the Ocho, I die every time because knowing the guy too, like personally, I'm laughing because I'm like, how did you, you had to have been laughing when you were coming up with this one, Chris. Like that's right. Too good. That's just too good. And, you know, it's super inspiring. I text him every once in a while to see when he's in AEW right now. Still kicking ass all these years later and putting over young talent, man. It's really cool to see. I text him and I said, dude, I know we don't talk much about wrestling all the time, but when we do, I just want to let you know, like, I'm watching you. And I think it's fucking awesome that you're giving back to wrestlers right now. Cause he really is. Yeah. You look at a Hall of Fame career that he's had being at AEW with these young upcoming superstars. He's really putting them over as much as he can along the way, you know? And I think it's admirable.
And I love that you say that. I always say we don't give Jericho enough credit for him doing that, because a lot of times people say, oh, he, like, a star is working with a younger guy, but the star is still getting the dubs, still getting the wins. I mean, Jericho's even taken L's to guys like, even, and we'll talk about Double or Nothing here in a second, but I mean, he lost to Adam Cole. He's lost to Orange Cassidy. He's lost to Action Andretti. He's lost to Ricky Starks. He's lost to a lot of these guys.
He lost to Orange Cassidy in great fashion, by the way. Getting thrown into a mimosa. Come on. That's great fashion to lose in.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Not only is it fun, but like
super fun.
I mean, it's so you can't ask for more from a legend than what he is doing. I don't think we give him enough credit for that. Just because I'm sure he could very easily throw his weight around a little bit and be I want to beat some people. I'm Jericho. I helped build this whole company, but
he helped build it. He's the only guy to beat The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night. I think was that what it was? Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
No one else can say that.
I heard a great story about him trying to order pizza after that and having trouble night.
That's funny. That's funny.
But yeah, we talk a bit about Double or Nothing. I was lucky. I got to be there in person. It was really, really fun crowd. Which, by the way, on Twitter, people are saying it sounded dead on the show. It was fun there. It was live. People were rowdy in person.
I went last year's to Double or Nothing last year. At T-Mobile Arena, and I think that was the first one that was at T-Mobile. They've only done four altogether now. Yeah. I agree. Vegas crowd was awesome. I'm from Orange County, so it's not like I'm partial to it or anything like that. But I thought, I mean, I do love Vegas. Don't get me wrong.
Who doesn't?
But yeah, no, the Vegas crowd was awesome. And I'm curious. I have a question for you too, because I was talking to Darby afterward. I went down the list with him the other night, and he wanted my honest opinion on the entire night. So I gave it to him, and I went down the list. But one of the things that I thought was a great match, but maybe I would agree with the people on Twitter watching at home. The Anarchy in the Arena match seemed not as good as last year's Anarchy in the Arena. But when I was there, but that's the difference. I was there last year. I wasn't there this time, but when Jericho and the Blackpool Combat Club was fighting each other last year, they did some crazy cool shit with like the cameras, getting the big arm on the camera, running into people. I thought that one was a little better. That was one of my criticisms of what was, in my opinion, a great pay-per-view, but that was one of my criticisms. So what say you on that? Like, how would you say the Anarchy in the Arena one went over?
You know, this is going to sound different than what I think most people would expect, but I agree. I liked last year's more because I was live for this one, but it was harder to watch live because you don't see half of it. You know what I mean? It's like people are in the crowd, or like you miss a lot of the little things that when you see later, they were zooming in on something, or you get it a little bit more when you're watching it on TV, because you can also hear them explaining what's happening or what's going on. Where this, it was such a mess. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was exciting, but at the same time, you're like, who's in the ring right now? Oh, okay. Where is this person? There's something going on over on this side of the arena. Who's over there? And you're kind of trying to figure out what's going on more so than just enjoying what's happening. But I think you're right. Not to continue to put over Jericho. I think a lot of that is Jericho is so good at finding the entertainment and stuff. And like the camera on the big, what do you call it? The arm.
The arm. I just call it the arm. I know that there's a name for it. The boom. I don't know.
I was going to say that's Mike.
That's why there's got to be a different name for that. But I think you're right. I think that was definitely a factor. I also think just I didn't miss not being able to know every spot. Like I thought that was like the chaos of it. Being in that arena. I love hearing Tony and Jim Ross and Taz and Excalibur and the whole crew. They're great commentators, but like being there, I didn't have them in my ear. So me and my buddies were just constantly like pointing to each other, like, look out over there, look out over there. And like, it was just pure chaos. And I'd never seen anything like it at that time. So I was like, this is cool. And then I was excited for it because I love the Elite. I love the Blackpool Combat Club. I think they're all great talent. So I'm like, let's go. This is going to be a great match. It's great talent. You know, it's Anarchy. You're going to pull out all the stops. And they did. I mean, dude, the tacks and the feet. Everybody at my house that even aren't fans. So we had a bunch of friends over and they aren't even necessarily fans of wrestling. They're like, what the? And I was like, yeah, dude, like that's right. That would be fucking painful. You know, standing on a Lego, if you have kids, how bad that is. Imagine fucking tacks.
I would say like, if I was a wrestler and someone poured tacks out, I quit. they wouldn't even have to do the check. Yeah. I'm tapping. I'm done. Okay. You want this more than I do.
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks for playing. Yeah.
I always think about the poor referees too, because they still got to slam their hands down for counts and stuff.
Oh, you saw that a couple of times. It happened to him a couple of times. I remember that.
If I was a ref, I'd like clear the space before I counted.
Well, let's be honest. These guys are different breeds out there. I mean, my hat goes off to every single person that's involved in wrestling that entertains me and puts their body on the line. Let's be real. Like that's what they're doing, but they live for it. They love it. That's their purpose. And I think it's a beautiful thing, but yeah, you couldn't get me to do that stuff. Darby asked me to do shit like that all the time. Like he comes over and we do penalties for games and stuff. And I'm like, I'll play the game, but I ain't doing one of your crazy ass penalties, dude. Like he went like whips with a belt, pepper spray, all this shit. And I'm like, that's all good for you, man, but I ain't doing it.
Can't we do drinks or something? And
Well, Darby doesn't drink though, so I can't get him on that one either. So I'm like,
Darby especially feels like you would not want to play that game with him because you're not going to out tough him either.
No, not at all. He likes it. He loves it. And he's like, we joke about it, but he's really talented at what he does to not hurt himself. Like Mick Foley. There's a method to the madness. I mean, and Mick Foley did it a little bit more reckless, I would say, if I'm being honest. But like Darby comes from the skating stunt world. Like he does everything that he does is calculated. And right. I know that firsthand. I'm not just saying it. Like everything he does is calculated. And it's maybe not on the spot calculated. I'm not saying every move that he makes in the ring is a calculated move from before. It's just the way he moves, what his brain around everything, let's say, is 100% calculated. And that's how, knock on wood, to this day, he's not getting seriously injured, because the shit he does makes me think he's like, yeah, I was like, dude, you're going to get fucked up.
Right. Yeah. Half the things I see, I'm like, I'd be done. That's all I'm doing. But you make a good point, because I know a lot of people will say, they'll talk about the risks that wrestlers take in, during matches like this. And don't get me wrong, they're big risks, but I've always been a believer in that's their call. They know what what's happening more than I do. So I'm not going to wag my finger at them, and I'm not going to say they should do something or shouldn't do something. They're the experts. They're the pros.
We like to criticize and have fun as wrestling fans, but I'm, in all seriousness, I know I don't know anything about what's going on in the locker room and on that ring. Like, no. And I know that, you know, that's how it is for me too, being on the stage. Like, no one really knows what we're doing behind the scenes, like, unless you're also a musician who does that. Like, you have to actually have done it to fully understand it. You could speculate, you could have fun with it, everything like that. At the end of the day, it's part of our perceptions, right? Everyone gets one perception. It's the one that we're given. It's the one that we roll with, you know? And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try and be like, oh, I know more about wrestling because I've watched it for longer.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
I always say my main way of critiquing or looking at wrestling is, how did I feel in the moment? And so we talk about that Anarchy in the Arena match. I know some people will talk about how the exploding super kick moment, maybe
that was funny.
Whatever. I loved it.
That was fun. I thought it was fun. I was like, and it made me think. I don't know these guys personally, the Bucks. I don't know them personally yet.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Yeah. I'll get to meet them soon. I got to ask him if they saw that, I don't know if it's called a meme anymore, but whatever short TikTok clip or whatever.
It's still a meme.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a video. So it's a video. So I don't think it's quite a meme. I don't know though. I'm not trying to keep up. I've got a 6-year-old son. Do the math. There was one that I saw, a short or a TikTok video or whatever, that I saw on social media on my phone one day. And this wife gets her husband by putting a bunch of those poppers that we used to throw around on the ground that make the popping sound on the bottom of his shoes. So when he goes to slip them on, they popped and scared the shit out of him. So I was like, was there some inspiration in that short video for putting, because I mean, the firework thing, I mean, we know it wasn't fire. It was pretty much those pop rock things that we're talking about that popped on it. And I was like, it's a cool move though. I thought it was fun because it made me laugh. I mean, it's not like I watched it and went like, man, he kicked him so hard. That was crazy. It was like, no, come on. We're smarter wrestling fans than that. I think a lot of people who aren't wrestling fans watch our reactions, or like, they have a different reaction to these kind of things than an actual wrestling fan. Right. Just a passerby would be like, oh, that's so stupid. But like, yeah, that's why it's awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so fun. It, like I said, it just makes me feel good. I laugh. It's a good moment. And then, but also what's cool about it too, the people, the more in-depth stuff, like, not to get too far in the weeds here, but speaking of people who don't watch wrestling, I always think if you showed the last part of Double or Nothing, the Four Pillars match and the Anarchy in the Arena to a non-wrestling fan, you almost give them the entire spectrum of what you can expect from pro wrestling.
And done well, too. Not just give them the looks, but like, I mean, I hope we get into that Four Pillars match because
Let's do it. I want to right now because I thought that was incredible.
I know this is going to sound like I'm a homer because I just talked about how Darby's a friend of mine and stuff, but that was the showstopper for me. When I watched it at home, I watched it live. I made sure that like I got home in time. I was at a 40th birthday party, so I didn't catch everything live. I got in right as Chris made her appearance back and won the title. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I just watched that. And then I just went right into the Four Pillars match and watched it with my son. And both of us are just like literally staring at it going, what did I just watch? Like every move, like MJF is so great. He's probably my favorite wrestler right now. Like just because His heel work is unbelievable. And from what I understand, the guy doesn't break character, which is fucking awesome to me. No, there's not enough of that. And anyone can make the art however they want, but that's what works for MJF. And, you know, you see him in the press conferences afterwards, still talking shit and like bleeding all over the place with his, and he's not wrong. I'm watching him going like, guys, he's not wrong. He is better than everybody at the mic. But he could go in the ring too. He just showed you it with the four pillars. There wasn't a weak link in that match. I don't think everybody could go in that ring, and they went hard. They sold everything. The false finishes, like everything about the storytelling in the ring. I wasn't the biggest fan of the storytelling leading up to the match, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. But when it came to, you know, the hype video into their entrances and them going in the ring, I was like, okay, like it's on. And you could see, I was so happy for guys like Darby and Sammy, who just like, you could tell they almost broke character a little bit there at the beginning of the match. Right. And we're like, let's fucking go. This is our time. Right. And they didn't shrink from the moment, dude, because it was the first time they were main eventing. And it was like, and they did not shrink from the moment. They went hard, and it was sick to watch.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And what was cool about it, too, is not only was it, like, did they go hard? Was it fun? You could watch it as a non-fan or someone who's never watched AEW enjoy it. But there are so many little nods throughout, like how they all used each other's
mentors' moves
and things
like that. That was mind-boggling.
So cool, because you don't even think about it. Oh yeah, they all did have a mentor, and they all did, like, just so many little things that were thrown in there. And the fact that, like, MJF got hurt but still kept going. And you're right, MJF on the microphone, I always say it's not just that he's good, but he never stutters. There's never even a second of let me think of what to say or oops, let me start. It just bam, 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 and he'll go for 15 minutes and doesn't skip a beat. It's incredible.
Dude, his promo that he did on that sports podcast, I can't remember what it was, before the Iron Man match at the last pay-per-view. I watched that thing, and he goes for like seriously 5 to 7 minutes without skipping a fucking beat on a one-on-one monologue. Now that I'm on a mic and doing my own podcast, I know just how difficult that is. And I'm like, that is so impressive. And then, like I said, he can go in the ring. He's smart. Like he's the ultimate heel. Bigger heel right now is Don Callis from last night, but that's a different story. That was so cool, by the way. That was so cool.
I love that. Yeah, just nuclear.
Dude, I was like, dude, that's what he went back into the locker room and fucking slapped some hands. Cause that was like, he's like, I got it. Still got it. Everyone hates me. This is great.
Right. He's the slimiest guy in pro wrestling.
So good.
I don't know. You can debate whether people are better on the mic or whatever, but like, he just has a way. He's just so hateable.
And you didn't want to see him as part of the elite, as a good guy, a face.
No,
I didn't want to see that. It's not believable. It's just, right. It's like trying to make Paul Heyman a face. Like, that's not going to happen.
Not ever. No,
no one's on board with that. You know, they're just too slimy. That's how they come across. I don't know them personally, but they just come across as slimy, you know? So it's like, you know, you got to enjoy that shit. Cause from the little bit I know, most of the wrestlers that I've come in contact, not all of them, but most of them enjoy being the heel, like more than the face. And when I was growing up, I always thought that would be opposite. Right. But like, no, right. Like, the heel's where it's at. And I'm like, I did that. Cause I grew up huge Ric Flair fan.
Right.
Hogan changed. I was 12 years old and Hollywood Hogan was the coolest thing to me. I love DX. I love, you know, like I said, Undertaker, even in the early years when he was, you know, brought out by Ted DiBiase and stuff. Like, I've just always gravitated towards the heels. It's like, Darby is like my one guy that's a face that I like. And obviously I'm a little bit of a homer for it, you know, because I do respect it. It came from respect originally, our friendship, and because I do think he's extremely talented. So going back to that match, those homages to those finishes, my son didn't know what that was because he's only six, but I was like, dude, that was cool. And how about the nod to Cody Rhodes there?
Yes.
That one, like all the other ones, I was like, cool. I was like, oh, he did what? And that storytelling right there, that's keeping the story of the war of 2024 going right there in the ring. That's in ring storytelling. It was done so well.
And it's honest too. It's not hiding because he's not with the company anymore, pretending, you know, he doesn't exist or redacting him from history. It's like, no, that's still part of the story.
Yeah. The story, not to steal from the other guys, but the story's not done. You know what I mean? But you know, it's very interesting. And then Jungle Boy, even to the same point, they're not admitting that he's friends with Christian Cage anymore or anything like that, but he dropped it. And he was like, it's like, okay, that's cool, man. That's real. That's that borderline realness that we got from the WCW, WWF Monday Night Wars that they both went for. It's like, we're going to blur these lines for the first time ever. And I think it got away from it a little bit over the years. And I understand why. There's sponsorships, there's money, business gets involved. And I'm not even poo-pooing that. Like, hell yeah, go do that. Like, it only grows the company. I wish, and I think AEW is doing it, and WWE seems to be doing it a little bit more too. Speaking of Cody Rhodes, that's definitely a touching on a little bit of realness there too. I think I like wrestling. My wrestling tastes are when they're closer to real life, just turning the knob up a little bit, you know, and that's I just think it's more intriguing to me, I guess.
Well, I agree, because I think that we can relate to that. That's you're a person as opposed to a caricature that's totally not realistic. But I got to ask you something that came through in the chat. Tornado Anthony Y, a friend of the show, wants to know, wouldn't mind seeing MJF versus Darby to run it back at All In and Darby to pick up a huge win. Wow. That was after he had asked to us, what do you think would be who do you think would be a huge contender for MJF and to take the title away from him? So, Johnny,
two good questions. Two good questions.
And should it be Darby?
I don't know that it should be Darby. I think Darby is just one of those guys. He's one of those talents that doesn't need the belt. So you don't need to go with it. Like sometimes, you know, if he wants it, it would be something different. And, you know, as his career goes, he's not, to my understanding, and I don't want to put words in my friend's mouth. So don't hold me to this, but it doesn't seem like he has much motivation to actually hold the title behind, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'll say. So, and I think that is because he recognizes too. I mean, look at a guy like Jake the Snake Roberts. He never held a title. You know what I mean? Like, and he's a Hall of Famer because of it, partly because of it. I think I think Darby is that kind of transcending talent that he's one of those guys. Like even a Scott Hall, he didn't hold the world title. He had the Intercontinental and the Tag Team Championship, and he ended up being the greatest because of it. Right. You know. So it's like
Scott Hall. Yeah, the whole NWO. I was such an NWO guy. I still say NWO for life.
I still wear the shirts. I still wear the shirts on stage. I still throw up the For Life all the time. You know, it's like I went as Hollywood Hulk Hogan for Halloween 2 years ago. Like I'm still in it, man. I'm never giving up on that.
To your point about Darby, I kind of agree in that, like, obviously I want him to have all the success in the world. So I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but being a champion almost feels like it's a little too corporate for him, his character, if that makes sense. Like I'd rather see him just mess people up as opposed to be the champion. You know,
the only thing I'd like to see what he was able to do a little bit with TNT, if he was to win the title, the big belt, I would like to see it just so I could see his promos, because he does such artistic and different pre-recorded promos than I've ever seen. Like that's one thing that I could say. Like you've seen guys make videos before, but he came from a film school background, so he has a different edge to it, I think. Mm-hmm. I would like to see what he would do with the belt. That would be kind of cool. But as far as is he next on there, I don't know. Who's the next fight for MJF? I mean, we just found out CM Punk's coming back.
CM Punk.
So me and my buddy who does the podcast Drinks with Johnny with me always have these debates about what is kayfabe and what's part of the story, you know, what's real, what's not real. Right. And I don't know, man. I still think like he had an injury. He needed to go away for a while, and they came up with a really fucking cool way of making that. Because that's what I want to believe. Now, probability factor, probably not what happened. Probably was what everyone knows, that there was a backstage brawl, and at the end of the day, everyone involved had to put on their big boy pants and make a business decision. So that's probably the case, but I don't want to believe that. I want to believe that Tony Khan and the crew and everybody else came up with this angle where he's going to go away for so long. When he comes back, it's going to be so polarizing, because that's what is missing from wrestling. Sometimes you got Stone Cold was polarizing. Hollywood Hulk Hogan was polarizing. You know, there was people who on both sides who like thought of him as a heel, but then actually kind of liked him too. That's what you're missing a little bit sometimes in these characters. And I think I want to believe that that's what they did to create this new character of CM Punk that is so polarizing. I don't have any information on that. It's just a speculation, of course. But if that's the case, could you imagine MJF, who is polarizing, and CM Punk potentially polarizing when he comes back, getting in a real rivalry, the one that we were supposed to get a year ago, and both of them went away suddenly in the middle of it. It's almost too perfect. If this is just the way it worked out, hey, I believe in the universe. Like that could have absolutely happened that way.
Right.
And I also want to believe Tony and the rest of the bookers over there had something up their sleeve this whole time. And it would be really cool to see.
I love that you say that, because I also am one of those people like, look, yeah, there's rumors out there, but I've said many times, I have no idea what's really going on. I don't know anything, so I'm not going to pretend. And if I'm never going
to know. Tony doesn't respond to my text anymore, so I don't know.
That's actually
true. I had him on the podcast. We do text every once in a great while. But the last couple, I know he was super busy, so I didn't. You never want to be that guy that like keeps texting. And you can see all the blue and I just stopped.
Yeah.
But you know, cause I also know he's busy too. I'm like, he's fucking Tony Khan. He's got his hands full right now. It's okay that he doesn't text me back.
Yeah. After three or four, you got to like pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah, totally. Okay.
I was like, all right. I'll take the hit. Man. You're busy. He's a great guy though. He really is. He's a nice dude.
He's about as busy as they get with what he's got going on. I mean,
wrestling. European football.
he's got crazy busy jobs that would be crazy busy on their own, let alone multiple of them. But he seems like a super nice guy. I mean, I was fortunate enough. I was at the scrum for Double or Nothing this weekend, and seems super cool. Seems super nice. I haven't talked to him in a personal level, but I mean, we did. We looked at each other in the eye. We had a little connection there for a second. Right.
Hey, you're a wrestling fan, and that's what he is. He's just a wrestling fan, man. He's a wrestling fan with a business acumen that, you know, and that's a great combination for us fans. I'll just put it that way. That's a great combination for us fans.
So who are some of the – now, by the way, I want to make sure I get this in because we've talked about your podcast, but we want to make sure everyone knows it's Drinks with Johnny.
That's correct. That's where
people can check it out, and they can check it out on Spotify, Apple, I'm guessing, wherever.
Everything. You know, we I'm sure like this one goes up too. It just goes up to all the podcasting platforms. So whatever one is on your phone that it comes loaded on your phone, with Google Play, Spotify, Apple, whatever one that is. They could get it there. They could subscribe there. I think they call it following now. When I started doing it, it was subscribing, and now it's called following on those apps.
What a follower thing to do, change it to following.
I was like, come on, just leave it to subscribing. I know people get tired of hearing it, but hey, people need reminders. And then, of course, we do everything on YouTube as well. All the episodes come out on YouTube. So that's Drinks with Johnny on YouTube.
And you cover a lot of things. But as mentioned, you've had, sounds like Tony Khan on. You've had Darby Allin on. You've had the Hardys on, Rebby mm-hmm. Hardy. At least recently for Mother's Day.
We had Matt on last year too. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but fuck it. I did actually have Jeff on, but we're going to have to re-record that one because it was since he's sober. So I talked to Matt about it. I just got to text Jeff, and they're great. They're great people, and they're all doing good. So had them. Yeah. And yeah, I've had a lot of wrestlers. It's actually because the show is mine. I just kind of have fun with it. And I was like, let's just do stuff that I'm interested in. And there's probably other people who might be interested in it too.
Yeah. And so basically everyone who's watching now should definitely check it out. Getting the wrestlers to be on the show, what has that been like? Is it because I know you're a fan. And so it's always interesting when you're trying to reach out to someone you're a fan of to be like, can you be on my show? Do you still have that? Now you're bigger than the average person. You're not a nobody, but like, do you still have a little bit of that? Like, can you be on my podcast?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Like, no. Especially earlier on. I mean, I'll just share a quick fun story. I just started doing the podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was in 2019. I was just making videos for Avenged Sevenfold's YouTube page. I was like, hey, I got some free time right now. We're writing the record, but I'm going to have some friends over. We're going to make some cocktails at my home bar here and just shoot the shit. And then I was telling my other buddy, Sam, this story. At a barbecue, who's not affiliated with the entertainment industry whatsoever. He's a contractor for Edison, or he was at the time. Basically, by the end of it, I was telling him about it. He's like, well, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be at the Rec Room here in Huntington Beach next week. You want me to see if he'd come be on the show and hang out with you? And I was like, sure, buddy. Yeah, you're going to get Jake the Snake Roberts to go. I was like, go knock yourself out, bud. Go knock yourself out. Right. And a couple days later, he said, I got in contact with his management. He's down to do the show. And I almost dropped the phone. I was like, are you serious? I just started doing this thing. I had no idea what I was doing. And my second interview ever was going to be with the Hall of Famer and Jake the Snake Roberts. I was like, I'm not ready for that. But I did it. And it was really fun. I mean, Jake was a great guy. Like, he's intense and he's everything everyone comes to know now. And if you saw the A&E documentary they did a few weeks ago, very brutal, but very honest. And he was very, very friendly to me and very nice to me. So I couldn't thank him enough for, you know, taking a chance on a guy who's just starting a podcast, you know? Right. But yeah, I mean, that was moments. I went over to his hotel and I was just like shaking. I was like, dude. And then I shook even more when I got to meet him because he's like fucking giant. Like, you don't think about it. Like, he's just the pure mass of this man. I was just like, he could eat me alive still. And I'm like, this is a couple of years ago. I was like, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm young. And this guy is in his 60s. But no, he would eat me alive. There would be nothing I can do. You know, it's just. Right.
I would say that's the shocking thing when you meet a wrestler for the first time is because they're all big. And so when they're standing next to each other, you're like, oh, that, you know, I remember thinking like, oh, you know, so-and-so, like Bret Hart's one of the smaller wrestlers. And then you find out how big he is. Like, no, that guy for life is a big dude.
And it's because it's not even the height and the weight, it's the density, just like football players or any other athlete. Yeah, that's the other thing. I think the misconceived notion is that when you're watching it on TV, you think of them as TV or movie stars, but they're not. I know that there's there's acting involved, of course. That's what makes this sport so much fun to watch, is that it's everything all at once. And I love that.
Right.
But they're also different breed athletes. You know what I mean? Like they're just dense, man. They're dense.
Yes. And I was at WrestleMania in Dallas and Shelton Benjamin rocked by, and you never think of him as like a big guy, but that guy could have walked through a brick wall, I think, without even breaking a sweat. He's just huge, but
for
he's not
sure.
Even what you think of as a big guy. You're just like, oh yeah, he's the average wrestler, but yeah, he could have thrown me across the building if he wanted to.
Yeah. Well, even like some of the smaller guys, I'm like, they're still bigger than me.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I don't think of any of them as small. You see people online like, oh, he's too small. Like, I bet he's not.
Nope.
Just standing next to the Big Show. That's the only problem.
No shit, right? I think everybody looks pretty small next to him. I mean, Satnam Singh, I saw him backstage. He shook my son's hand in January when we were backstage at the Forum. And I looked up at it. I was like, that's a legit 7'5". Like, that's not an oversell. That's right. A legit 7'5". And that is insane to look at. Like, that's just.
Yeah. Every time I see him on screen, I'm like, he is like, his eyes are at the second rope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, just standing there. It's fucked up. I'm like, yeah. And he was really, again, he was nice. He looked down at my son and was like, how you doing, little man? And I was like, you're a monster. This is awesome. You're a monster in a beautiful way, in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Did he do the whole put his hand on his head or anything like
that?
No,
we were kind of in passing. I was running into some other friends. Like I said, on the podcast, I've had so many of the contemporary wrestlers on too. Mm-hmm. You know, last year around Double or Nothing, they were out as they are for a week doing Dynamite, Rampage, and leading into Double or Nothing. So we got an Airbnb last year and hit up our contacts over at AEW and said, hey, anybody want to come over and do the podcast? And for about 4 days straight, we had guys like Keith Lee come over, Swerve come over.
Two guys that are incredible, by the way.
Us. And they were so nice. I actually had the pleasure of driving them both back to their hotel afterward. I was their Uber and I got lost with Keith. Again, sorry, Keith, I went the wrong way. But it was a lot of fun. And then had the best friends and Orange Cassidy on. That was a blast to film with them because they're unlike any other wrestlers I've met before. So it was really cool. So again, the podcast is fun. That's what it's for. I have all these wrestlers. And as I said about wrestling, something I love about wrestling is there's so much entertainment wrapped into one present for us. And I kind of take that approach to my podcast, really. I mean, I have wrestlers, I have musicians from all different genres, and I have comedians and actors and fighters and sports athletes of all different kinds. Because I'm just like everybody else. I think I'm interested in all this stuff. So anything that the entertainment bubble, I'm here for it, man. I want to get to know these people.
Yeah. I want to say real quick, I got to interview Orange Cassidy last week, and
it was
nerve wracking interviews going into it. Because you don't know what, I didn't know what is, you know, am I going to ask a question? He's just going to say, yep. And then I'm be like, oh, great. I got to fill in the rest of the show myself. Like how is it going to go? He was great, but I was definitely going into it worried. Like, oh my gosh, what if this is a 5-minute?
Did he tell you he wasn't going to say much? Because he told me before when they walked in together, he's like, most of these guys are going to talk. I'm not going to talk very much. And then he ended up being like one of the most talkative people in the room. Because I did them all. I had them all together at the same time.
Yeah, he didn't tell me much of anything. I just, knowing the character, I was like, because I knew he wasn't going to be different than the character, but he was actually pretty good. He gave me good answers. We talked about, in fact, let me get your thoughts on this. Obviously, he has Jane he walks out to, and CM Punk we talked about, Cult of Personality.
We're playing with Living Color in our first show ever in Madison Square Garden coming up on June 23rd. I just want to say that. So it made me think of it when you said Cult of Personality, because it's their first time, Living Color's first time playing MSG. It's our first time that they reached out and said, hey, we're from New York. We've never been able to play MSG before. Would you consider us? And we're like, are you kidding me? You're Living Color. Yes, please come with us. Let's go do this together. This would be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Asking people to be on your podcast. Can I play with you? That's a great story.
Well, but, you know, I don't mean to make him sound like they're legendary, man. When I was a kid, I listened to Living Color all the time. I mean, I haven't listened to them in a while, but I mean, Like when I was a kid, it was all cult of personality. You couldn't turn on the old box of tube throw on MTV and not see that music video. It was everywhere. It was legendary.
Right. Yeah. And they're great. But there's so much like rock and metal in pro wrestling, and especially with wrestlers' entrances. One, any of the entrances that stand out to you as a favorite? And two, any chance we're going to get an Avenged Sevenfold entrance theme for a wrestler anytime?
Okay. There's two really fun answers to that, actually. So one off the bat, like I love that AEW and Tony and whoever's involved in it are actually purchasing the rights to some of these old songs, because I think that's cool. I always wondered as a kid, like back, especially being like a fan of WCW, when like Diamond Dallas Page would come out, and I was like, that's clearly trying to be Smells Like Teen Spirit, but not quite there. You know, I'm like, why can't they just use to, but I'm a kid. I don't understand the logistics of it at the time. So I understand now. And it's actually kind of brilliant what WCW did, is they're like, we're gonna make it sound almost like it. We're gonna pull something from the Warner catalog and make it that sounds almost like it.
Right.
Pretty brilliant, really.
Yeah. But it was a Pearl Jam song. I think it was Even Flow. It sounded like Even Flow, I think. WCW.
Was that Jericho or was that Raven? What was Raven's? Raven's was a grungy one too, I think.
Yeah, Raven had a grungy one too. I don't think it was Raven, because I remember being upset that Raven didn't have the Even Flow sounding song, because his move was called the Even Flow. And
right. That was one of those. It was weird. And he dressed like everyone called him. Nowadays, everyone, like, I've spoken to Raven too, and everyone calls him like this goth look and stuff because his name was Rob. I'm like, you guys clearly weren't of age, because us teenagers knew that that was grunge. That was a grunge era thing. that was not some goth thing. He wasn't doing, I don't even know.
I'm originally from Seattle area. So I loved Raven and the Flock. I was
The Flock was so rad coming out with all, I agree. I loved him, and he's a nice guy. So, you know, more power to him. Shout out to Raven, everybody. So, getting back to that, like what they're doing over at AEW, I think it's cool that they're buying the rights to these songs and doing it. I mean, before Jane, it was the Pixies that Orange was coming out to. You got Moxley coming out to
Wild Thing.
It's a different version. It's not the original, but it's still Wild Thing, which is a song everyone's familiar with. And my son loves that the Elite come out to Kansas, Carrying My Wayward Son, because he knows every word to it now. I'm like, I didn't teach him Kansas, wrestling town of Kansas. I was like, that's really cool.
I love when they came out to that, by the way, because that's a song I know well, but I'd never once thought of it as like a wrestling intro theme.
You would never,
and as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is perfect.
You always think heavy or something like that, right? But then like, and I get for the 70s, that was pretty heavy, but it's just a really well-written song. You don't think of it as an entrance song. I mean, when I was a kid and I had my wrestling buddies, I played Razor's Edge by AC/DC, and I was always wondering why Razor Ramon didn't come out to Razor's Edge by AC/DC. It was like, that's no-brainer. But I would do it, Razor's Edge and stuff. But, you know, so I love that they're doing all that, and I would love if they wanted to take one of our songs from the catalog, and there's a wrestler out there that would want that, you know, we could work out a deal. But you know,
any wrestler you'd like to have walk out to one of your songs, if you could pick.
I don't love that question, because there's not one out there that I think doesn't have a good, all my favorites have good intros already.
Right.
So I don't want to like sully their intros already, you know?
Right,
but you know, there's some upcomers though that I'm not familiar with that I can go for it. I would love it. I'd be flattered.
Right.
I mean, the iconic intros of all time when I used to play on my Nintendo was the Undertaker's music was so cool, so different. Roddy Piper's, I love the original snare drum bagpipes there. That was awesome. And then of course Into the Attitude Era, who can beat the Broken Glass at the beginning of Stone Cold's entrance?
Oh, so good.
Like it's too good.
It was so good. Like all their songs for a while had a little like intro thing they tried to duplicate with it.
They tried to make it as good as the Broken Glass. There was no beating it. There's no beating it.
Yeah.
The Broken Glass, and then dun, 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 dun. I was learning how to play bass at the time and being in the garage. That was my warm up. Every time. Like it was so fucking rad. So yeah, and then a funny story on If We Ever Hear Us. We did actually record something for Mr. Kennedy Kennedy. Back in about 2008, 2009. Unfortunately, the WWE at the time and Warner Music at the time that we're on couldn't reach an agreement on the rights to this song, so it never actually happened. But we ran into John Hammer, who was still there as the music director over at WWE at SoFi when me and Matt were there. We were introduced to him. He still had it on his phone. I hadn't heard it in years. He's like, man, I'm so bummed we could never use this. I'm like, there's got to be a statute of limitations coming up soon. But it was very stylized for Kennedy. We recorded, right. We went up into Canada and recorded this song that we had actually written. It was an original. And I still don't really remember it all that well, but I know there was like a whole thing. And we wrote this whole, you know, almost full track because it was about 2 minutes. I know they probably wouldn't use all 2 minutes of it when he's doing right. His intro, but Ken Kennedy, man. We were big fans too. We were like, let's go, dude. Kennedy. What such a good heel. He was a good heel, man. Like again, we go back to it. Yeah. Yeah. We had something for that. And it's unfortunate business got in the way for that one, years later, but you know, hopefully one day we could release it as a fun thing. And even I'd like to reach out to Ken Anderson, see what he's up to these days. Cause now that I think about it, I'm like, dude, I should have him on my podcast and talk about that. But, I've never had contact with him. So yeah. I have no idea what he was hearing on his end. Did he ever hear the song? Did he, you know, that'd be interesting. If you're out there, Ken, I'm looking for you, buddy.
Right. Yeah. See, reach out, Ken. Mike Rouse, by the way, saying, he used to come out to Thunderstruck when he would walk, as we talk about.
Oh yeah. That's a great one. That's a great one. I feel that one.
that is a good one, but I know you're a busy guy. I appreciate you coming through, Johnny. One more time, let the world know where they can find you online. And again, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, well, me personally, you can find it Johnny Christ on Instagram. It's the only personal one I have. And then Johnny Christ Official. Avenged Sevenfold is at Avenged Sevenfold everywhere. Drinks with Johnny is at Drinks with Johnny everywhere, and on YouTube and the podcast and everything. So. I appreciate the time, Jack. By the way, I listened to a few episodes. I've heard of the podcast that I'm on now, Wrestling Incorporated. It's really great stuff. I love when you're talking wrestling the whole time and joking around with. You have a couple co-hosts sometimes, right?
Yeah. When we review different shows, depending on the show, usually it's Justin and referee Jimmy Corderas join us. So
yeah,
but also Issa, sometimes Alfred I've been on with.
I like Issa. I was listening to one with her. She was getting pretty funny in there. I liked it.
Issa and I have a rivalry. You're not allowed to like Issa. No.
I love that even more.
I always give her a hard time because she loves Bad Bunny. So I'm always like, Logan Paul is the greatest celebrity wrestler of all time.
That's a good debate though, because until that last pay-per-view, I would have absolutely agreed with you, Jack, because that was the best celebrity performance I'd ever seen was Logan Paul. Bad Bunny could go too, man. I was like, okay.
I've toned it down since Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I was like, okay. I thought Logan Paul had it hands down. I'm going back to history of celebrities getting in the ring. I thought he was destroying it. But then,
yeah.
I mean, he went with Roman Reigns though, dude. You can't take that. He went.
He took a selfie diving off the top rope. Come on.
I love Logan Paul. I love him.
Yeah, he's been incredible in pro wrestling, and so is Bad Bunny. They've just I don't know what they're feeding their celebrities these days, but they've all been way better than they used to be.
They're
all
better than I would do.
Former.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Again, Johnny, thanks for being on. Appreciate it. Everyone who's on, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, go follow Johnny, and Johnny, we'll have to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love that, man. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.